Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today, we are going to be talking about making smash burgers. It's an absolute craze right now. And we have on one of our favorite return guests, Chef Nathan Lippe from Blackstone. He is the guy to talk to in like all of America. And he is going to be giving us step-by-step instructions for making awesome smash burgers. He's also going to give us a few recipe ideas. Nathan is a Blackstone griddle ninja. The guy has some serious knife skills. He's also just a really nice guy. But before we do that, just a quick thank you to today's sponsors, GoPower and Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel better for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com. And also a big thanks to our sponsor, GoPower, powering off-grid adventure since 1996. Visit GPElectric.com to size a power system for your next adventure. Welcome to the show, Chef Nathan.
Thank you so much for having me. That was quite an intro.
Oh, yeah.
Griddle ninja. I dig that.
I watch your videos and I watch your knife skills and I'm like, I would chop my fingers off doing what you do.
Well, the nice part about having you on to give instructions for the smash burger is that apparently now if you ask anybody in any Facebook group out there how to make a smash burger, you just get yelled at, right? Because you're supposed to know it already. So we're gonna let our listeners learn how to do it and nobody's gonna get yelled at, right?
Well, I think it goes a little further than that. I think some people there's still a bunch of naysayers out there. The idea of smashing a burger is kind of repulsive to some people. They're like, oh, you're smashing out all the juices. But I mean, there's some science behind why it works and why it's amazing. My good buddy, George Motes, he's the author of Hamburger America. He has a couple of videos on our website that are unbelievable, and his technique is flawless. I believe the man's eaten thousands upon thousands of burgers, and he's landed on his absolute favorite, which is the Oklahoma Fried Onion Burger, which is a slider-style smash burger, and it's insane. Have you seen the video, Jeremy?
Yes, and we will embed that in the show notes. And
my goodness.
I have his other
best
book.
Best burger of my life.
His other book with all the burger recipes I bought as well, and I'll
let
I'll link to that in the show notes. And I think like 90% of his burger recipes are on flat tops. I mean, there are very few recipes that are over a traditional grill, over an open flame.
And, you know, people naysay all they want, but the bottom line is that what people like to taste, they like to taste. And I think it's always important to remember that with food. Like, our boys prefer a smash burger over any other type of burger. So when we get out the ground beef and we're going to make burgers, guess what we're going to make? Because they love them, you know, and that's what matters, right? Is what we like to eat.
Sure. I mean, I think it's a kind of a rule of thumb when it comes to food. Simplicity always wins. Simplicity is always the best, letting each individual ingredient shine for the ingredient that it is without overcomplicating things. And the beauty of the smash burger, beyond its history, the smash burger is kind of the all-American style burger, that diner style burger on the flat top. It's just, it's the way the burger was born. So going back to those classics, simplified burgers are an absolute winner. So I'm a big fan of smash burgers. They're my go-to burger recipe. I have a few of them that I really like to do, but the reason I love the Blackstone so much for a smash burger is this is the science, right? Are you guys familiar with the Maillard reaction? The Maillard reaction is the caramelization of proteins, right? So you cook vegetables, onions and stuff. You know, they change color. That's because of the natural sugars. So meat doesn't really have the same sugars. It has protein, but at really, really high temperatures, over 500 degrees, meat caramelizes, protein caramelizes. That's called the Maillard reaction. That's what makes a smash burger so decadent and delicious. So basic trick is, here's another big one. People sometimes when they make their meatballs, they over squeeze and over form them. You really want a loose pack. So when you have your 80-20 ground beef, I always use 80-20. What that basically means is it's 80% lean, 20% fat. That's going to give you a really juicy, flavorful burger because fat is flavor. You could go heavier. Our good friends over at the Gothenburger Social Club, they like to use dry aged, and they'll actually go 70-30, 30% fat. So that's a juicy, crazy, decadent burger. I like to stick with 80-20. It's available at pretty much every grocery store. And what you want to do is take the ground beef and just loosely pack it into a ball. You don't want to squeeze it. You're not making grandma's Italian meatballs here. You want to lightly create a ball, gently forming it with your hands. And then the other trick is making sure your Blackstone is screaming hot. I mean, super hot. This takes about 90 seconds from beginning to end once you start cooking. So you want that griddle top screaming, smoking hot.
Now, how big of a ball? Totally up to you, totally up to your own preference. Are we talking quarter pounders? I mean, how do you do it?
No. I think one of the, this is going to make me sound terrible. One of the things I love about smash burgers is I can hammer like four of them and not feel horrible about myself because they're small. So I like to go 2 to 3 ounces, and I like to use the Martin's slider rolls or the slightly bigger. They make a hamburger roll, but they're very small. Almost like think like a McDonald's sized bun, maybe slightly smaller. So this is a traditional slider, and most hamburger American culture, the slider is the authentic burger. At least that's what history tells us. So I like that smaller, more.
And the slider, I like the slider is perfect for kids. I've totally been leaning towards the sliders because, like, Wes will not eat a whole like quarter pound burger, but if I do sliders, there's not going to be food wasted. So that's worked really well for our family.
One other interesting part of burger culture, a slider and a mini burger are not the same thing. Like a tiny burger and a slider are two different things. The slider really refers more to a technique, which is what we're talking about right now, smashing the patty nice and flat. Let me get back to that, the caramelization. So once your griddle is super hot, you take that loosely packed ball of 80-20 ground beef and use your spatula, and you smash it down as thin as you can. Really, really thin. And what happens is you get all this surface area that starts to get crispy. Like that's the magic, the absolutely delicious, wonderful magic of a smash burger, that crispy crust. You've done it before. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh my gosh, it's absolutely delicious. And like Stephanie said, the boys never want a grilled burger over open flame. They want them smashed.
Oh, that texture it's magical. It is so magical. I love making them.
And now you said a spatula, and I think it's fair to stop here. Like, not any spatula can do it, really, right? I mean, don't you need a really sturdy spatula or maybe use two spatulas?
I mean, there's a few different ways to do it. I mean, the end result you want is a very thin patty. So if you've got one of those heavy-duty, super thick spatulas, we have a few on our website at blackstoneproducts.com. Or if you just have a thin, flimsy spatula, you can take a pair of tongs, and as you put your flat spatula down over your patty, you can use your tongs on top to press it down nice and thin, so you get that really, really thin. And here's another thing. You can't have a medium-rare smash burger, right? You can't have a medium smash burger. These are always well done. But that's not the point. This isn't a steak, so we're not trying to take advantage of a rich, beautiful piece of meat. This is ground beef, so it's not that big of a deal that they're well done. What you want is texture. The big misnomer is that pressing a burger smushes out all the juice, that you press out all the juices. Before protein starts denaturing, starts cooking, the juices haven't formed yet. So smashing a patty, you're not smashing out any juices at all because the juices haven't had a chance to form yet. So that myth about smashing the juices out mostly exists on a traditional grill, a grated grill, not on a flat top. And it also happens after the meat has already started cooking, then you smash it, then you're going to lose all the juices. But before it started to cook, you're not smashing out any juices. It's juicy and succulent. You know from firsthand experience, it is a juicy burger. So I guess that's one of the common myths that I think people need to, you gotta try it. You gotta smash a burger.
So, Nathan, for people that are wondering then, okay, I've traditionally timed my hamburgers, you know, based on temperature of medium rare, medium well, et cetera. So you described the process of forming it, of getting it on that, you know, smoking hot griddle, of smashing it as thin as you possibly can. Now, from here, where do we go with our timing on flipping? Because, you know, that traditional thought process of grilling kind of goes out the window here.
Oh, yeah, this is not a traditional burger. This is a smash burger. Actually, I take that back. This is actually the traditional burger. It's the other style is actually a newer, more modern American burger. This smash burger is the original. It's what started in diners all across the country before we had fast food restaurants. But we're talking maybe 90 seconds. This is quick. This is one of the things I actually love about making smash burgers. If I have my 36-inch Blackstone and I've got 20 or 30 people at my house, I could literally crush 50 burgers in about 10 minutes. No problem.
How long is the actual
no
smash?
Mess, no cleanup.
How long are you actually pressing down on the burger meat?
There's a lot of different ideas about how long you have to press. I think once it's as thin as you like it, you don't need to press it anymore. It'll seize up just a little bit, so I like to press a little bit wider than my bun. I don't know, 5 seconds? Not much more than that. I think Shake Shack has a video. Shake Shack? Someone has a video out there about,
yeah,
oh,
they
you
do great.
Press it for,
yeah.
Yeah.
They've got their timing down, all right.
Well, on the forums, people argue over this stuff,
yeah.
Like
well,
20 seconds, 30 seconds.
Because, well, what Nate's saying is that there isn't an exact answer to that, just like there isn't an exact answer to a lot of things in cooking. You're going to find what you prefer more or what works best based on the exact temperature that your griddle is.
For instance, I feel like I've wasted a lot of time smashing burgers now that Chef Nate says 5 seconds is fine, because I count to 30 every time, and now I feel like very anal retentive.
Well, you know, here's the other thing. Cooking is so unique to the individual. I had the absolute pleasure of spending some time with Julia Child about a decade ago, a little longer than that. And I remember her saying something, answering a question. It was so beautiful and wonderful. Someone was asking her about molecular gastronomy and blah, blah, blah. And she's not into all that. And she said, basically, that she thought, if it tastes good, then it's perfect.
Now, do you pre-season the burger, or do you put the seasoning on right there while it's on the griddle?
No, here's another good thing, and there's a little bit of science to this one where I do think the technique is important. I see a lot of people mixing, I was going to say seasoning, but specifically salt. I feel like you can mix other seasonings into your ground beef before pressing it, but salt I don't think serves you very well. Salt has a tendency to dry it out, especially if you're leaving your mix. Like, say you want to make a big mix of, I don't know, Italian seasoning sliders, and you have a lot of salt in it, but you do it the night before, or you do it a couple of hours before, that salt is going to pull a lot of moisture out of your ground beef. So I suggest no salt, period, until it's on the griddle. I actually press it first before adding salt.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back and you for a few specific ideas, a few specific recipes, which we will also link to in the accompanying blog post. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Go Power.
Having solar power has significantly changed our RVing experience over the past year and a half. It's really amazing to be able to camp off grid and still be able to enjoy all the perks of our RV. So this season, we're partnering with Go Power to help demystify solar and give you really easy to understand information about finding a solar power system that fits your needs, just like our solar power system fits ours. So you can download their free ebook. It's the RV Solar Reference Guide, and it's at gpelectric.com/ebook. And it's a really simple way of walking through all the basic components of a power system. And it's really user friendly. And then also you can go and you can listen to last week's episode on portable solar power kits, which is a lot different than what we have. But we know a lot of people out there are interested in that. So basically, they've got tons of, you know, really user-friendly information out there to start your solar journey.
All right, Chef Nathan, welcome back. I want you to talk to me about my personal favorite smash burger, the Oklahoma Fried Onion Burger. And we're going to embed a video into the show notes so everybody could watch one of these being made. Give us the basic concept here for the Oklahoma.
So this is a very old recipe. This is authentic. This is tried and true. It stood the test of time. George Most was the first person to share this one with me, and he's the true burger ninja. That dude is amazing. So good. So essentially, there's a few layers of flavor here. Earlier in the show, we talked about one of the best tips in cooking is simplicity, allowing the ingredients to taste like the ingredients so that they come together harmoniously, like you're creating a masterpiece with your ingredients. So this is pretty much three ingredients, 80-20 ground beef, paper-thin sliced sweet onion, and a bun and a pickle. That's pretty much it.
And when you say paper-thin onions, you're pretty religious about that because you have actually like looked at pictures of my onions and said not thin enough.
Yeah, I was being nice, but they were definitely not thin enough, Jeremy.
Well, I went and got, what did we buy? What is that tool again? To cut the
mandolin.
We bought one of those.
I had a mandolin for 20 years that was never used around here. All right. And then all of a sudden, Jeremy's going, there's this new contraption that I need, Stephanie. Yeah, we've got those.
Simple ingredients.
Well, let me ask. So you've tried this recipe slicing onions by hand, and then you tried it with the mandolin. Which one was better?
Obviously the mandolin, because you get that caramelization a lot tastier on the onions, for sure. It was a noticeable difference.
Well, the onions, when they're that thin, they're that porous, they actually start to liquefy. So let me explain the process real quick. So you take a loosely packed ball of 80-20 ground beef, you smash it thin, add some salt, and then you add about the same amount of paper thinly sliced onions over the top of the ground beef. So if you're talking 3 ounces of ground beef, you've got 3 ounces of onions, right? But the onions actually start to, let me go back. So you cook it for about 90 seconds with the onions on top. Then when you flip it, you flip so the burger is now sitting on top of the onions and the onions are on the flat top. And so the onions are on the outside start to caramelize and get crispy in the beef fat. But the onions that are on the bottom start to steam up through the meat. So you're getting that beautiful sweet onion juice steaming up through the beef from the bottom, and it actually starts to liquefy just a bit. And then George Motz is religious about American cheese. You got to have a slice of American cheese, and that's it.
Perfection.
The flavor of onion, it's perfection, right? I could kill 3 or 4 of those, no problem.
And this is coming from a guy, Nate, who used to push every single onion that I ever put in any food that I used to cook off to the side of his plate, you know, as he ate the food.
Yeah.
So Jeremy used to think he hated onions.
In the process of making the Oklahoma, the onion is transformed into something just a bit more.
Completely transformed. The onion juice and the beef juice, the beef fat mixing together, it creates a completely new flavor. So if any of your listeners out there are like, oh, I don't like onions, give this one an honest try. The sweet onions, like Jeremy said, turns into something different. It is a condiment all of its own. It's sweet, it's savory, it's juicy. It's the best burger I've ever had in my life.
Okay.
By far, hands down.
Now, let's talk about one that's a little controversial, I think. When you posted this one, some people thought it was maybe a little too decadent. Talk to me about the grilled cheese smash burger.
Oh man, that was so every once in a while, you know, you're like, oh man, I want to eat like I don't care. Do you remember that scene in Groundhog Day where Bill Murray is just eating every piece of cake and candy and all that stuff at the diner?
Yes.
We're just like, oh, I don't care about love handles. So that was kind of one of those ideas for me. We basically made, was it a bacon and grilled cheese sandwich? I can't remember what I did.
I think you did bacon too.
Yeah. So it's two thin bacon grilled cheeses as the bun. And then I think I did a double stack, two smashed burgers in between two grilled cheeses. Oh, man, that was fun. That was really fun.
And this,
it's one of those things where you're slightly ashamed, but not ashamed enough to not eat it.
Only ashamed if you eat two, I think. I think one is fine.
Yeah.
Now, how about this?
Yeah, okay. I'll go that one.
How about this Gotham Burger Social Club? Is it the Cafe Tappy Burger? Am I saying that right?
Yeah. George Tappanekis is one of the members of the Gotham Burger Social Club. And if you guys haven't followed them, you can follow them on Instagram. They're awesome. They're pretty much a bunch of dapper dudes who travel around and eat amazing food, specifically burgers. And this is George Tappy's take on an Oklahoma Fried Onion burger, except instead of doing it quickly, he takes a very long time to slowly caramelize his sweet onions until they're caramelized brown, like for French onion soup, which is a much different flavor profile of the onions as well. That's like full sweetness, almost like candy sweet. He does another interesting thing, too. He salts his bun, which I think is really fantastic. One of their big things is they pair bourbon and burgers, and that overly savory and salty burger really makes the bourbon pop. So it's more of a pairing. You got to have the bourbon with the Tappy Burger.
All right, we are going to take one quick commercial break, come back, talk to Chef Nathan about some of the best Blackstone products for camping. Before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
And part of living my best life at the campground means making sure that I never have anything but good smells, like burger smells in my RV. Nothing yucky, all right? But you have to use products that are specifically developed for your RV plumbing systems in order to keep those smells at bay. For example, bleach and other cleaning products that work with your home bathroom can break down the seals and the compounds in your RV bathroom. So you need to use the right toilet paper. You need to use the right products like Aquasoft 2-ply RV toilet paper and Aquachem holding tank treatments. We've used these for 10 years of RVing, and we follow the system, we follow the rules, and we never have those smells.
The two-ply,
well, other than my voice.
The 2-ply is really great after having a couple grilled cheese.
Okay, we never have to connect it to the food. That's too gross. We've got a great PDF on RV-safe products from Thetford over at rvfta.com on our resources page. And you can also go to thetford.com to see a complete range of products.
All right, Chef Nathan, not everyone owns a Blackstone yet. So what are the products in the lineup that maybe are particularly good for RV owners and people that are going camping?
Well, I mean, I guess it really depends on how many you like to feed at a time. Our 17-inch has been kind of a staple in the RV community, and I love it. Our 22-inch is slightly bigger, and it's got two burners. And just because of the design, it gets crazy hot. Actually, the 22 with the stand is one of my favorite units. We've got a couple of new ones that just came out that are pretty unbelievable, but the 22, because of its shape, its portability, its capability, it is my favorite for going out camping, being on the go. And I love, you have a 22, don't you?
Yep, samesies. It's my favorite. I've been using the 17, and I used to tell people, oh, don't get the 17 if there's like four or more of you. And I kind of take that back now. You can use a 17 for a big family. You just got to do more rounds of food. And the Blackstone cooks up the food quickly enough that I think you're good to go with either. Any accessories that would be great for bringing to the campground, particularly for smash burgers?
Particularly for smash burgers, we have our new deluxe kit. It's an accessory kit. We actually, I don't know if you saw it, but we have a new toolbox for all of our tools. It's really good looking. I love it. I don't even have one yet. I need to get one of those.
We put it on our Father's Day.
We did. We recommended that for Father's Day. Very cool. Now, so I just want to remind all of our listeners that as much as it's fun to listen to the instructions for smash burgers and these recipes, we also know that you like to go and reference them after the fact to actually cook them at home or at the campground. So go over to rvfta.com, and everything that we talked about on this episode and the recipes, we've got the embedded videos of the specific smash burgers that we talked about. And we've got all of these steps and rules that we talked about right there for
you. You can watch Chef Nathan in action. Yes. And I think I'll also put in a George Motes video, and you can see that he does look like Wolverine.
So that'll be at rvfta.com/podcast/ smash-burger, right? Nice and easy. Or just go and search in our search bar for smash burgers and you'll be all set.
Chef Nathan, thank you so much for coming back on the show. We hope you have a great rest of your summer.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
See you later. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.